Got it now. Sorry. Thank you. I'll call to order a public hearing of the Black Point Beach Club Association Zoning Commission on Saturday, October 17th, 2020 at 10:02 a.m. Regular members in attendance are Jim Fox, Jim Allen, John Horahoe, John Kaisa. Also in attendance are alternates Joe Katzbeck and Charlie Bruce, and our CEO, Jim Ventress, and our Board of Governors liaison, Steve Bouchane. The legal notice, as was posted on the Black Point Beach Club website, the Black Point Beach Club Association Zoning Commission will hold a public hearing on Saturday, October 17th, 2020 at 10 a.m. at the Black Point Beach Club Association Clubhouse, 6 Sunset Avenue, Niana, Connecticut. You hear the following. Proposed regulation changes to the following. Consider modifications to Section 7, conforming uses, buildings, and lots. Intent is to promote flexibility on lots and structures that were built prior to the creation of zoning regulations, to remove section of nonconformity regulations that are contrary to general Connecticut general statutes, and to address ADA requirements in the building code. Item 2 is Section 5, dimensional requirements. The intent is to remove minimum square footage requirement for net floor area, as this provision was overturned in court. Item 3 is Section 4. Item 12, expanded construction time in the winter months. The intent is to promote activities to be completed during the winter months. And Item 4 is Section 1, definitions in Section 4, general regulations pertaining to accessory structures, specifically sheds and detached garages. Intent is to allow flexibility in accessory structure sizes and setback ratios. Copies of the full text of these proposed changes are available for inspection during regular hours at the East Lyme Town Clerk's Office, Town Building Office, 108 Pennsylvania Avenue, East Lyme. They can also be posted on the Black Point Beach Club Association webpage under the zoning section. At this hearing, interested persons shall be heard and correspondence received. Written responses and questions can also be emailed to bpzoning@gmail.com, and comments and questions will be presented at the public hearing. The meeting is to be held via teleconference and will be recorded in its entirety in accordance with the requirements of Executive Order 78 issued by the Governor Lamont, which allows for public meetings to be held over teleconference. Both the meeting recording and meeting minutes will be posted to the Black Point Beach Club website. Call-in number, I think everybody has that, 425-436-6363, access code 436-260. This is signed James Fox, Chairman, dated the 22nd day of September 2020. Okay. So for those of you who are not familiar, obviously this is an important part of the Zoning Commission's process as we look at different regulations and consider modifications and changes. That a very important part of that next step is getting feedback from the rest of the association. And that's the step that we're at now. So for those who are not familiar, this has been an ongoing process over the last several years. We've modified a number of different regulations. Most importantly, over the last couple of years were regulations that were that needed to be cleaned up, as well as some important regulation changes regarding erosion control, et cetera. So the regulation changes that we're looking at today, in terms of the discussion, I will introduce them. If there's a comment regarding the process that we've gone through, I'll share that, and then I'll turn the floor over to Jim Ventress for the
in a few words,
interpretation and why we're looking at the change.
Transfer funds or listen to recent transactions.
Excuse me, Jim. I'm sorry, but there's chaos here. I think you need to put everybody in a mute mode so that we don't hear any background noise, and it will make it easier for people to go through the process, hear what has to be said, and then you can go into a question and answer mode.
Transfer money.
How do you call?
You'd like to transfer.
Somebody's doing a phone call.
Operator.
This is why you want to put everybody in a mute mode.
need to identify your account.
Please say or enter your debit card. So calling because I'm not familiar with this, is that something I do from the website, or is that something I do on my phone, or?
No, you can do it from the website where the tutorial document I sent you had that information.
Yeah.
All right. For verification, please say or enter in the last four digits of any of your bank account numbers.
Oh, he's doing that. We're on mute, aren't we?
It's not true.
Let's see if we can figure this out.
Sorry, I didn't quite get that. Please say or enter the last four digits of any of your bank account numbers.
Who's ever trying to execute a bank transaction? I would suggest that you mute your phone so that we don't hear the process.
Say or enter the last.
Colleen, how is it on your side right now?
Well, I set the mode to mute, so everybody has been muted. You are the only one that is unmuted right now, other than me, who's now muted.
Thank you. Appreciate the help. Okay, so item one is consider modifications to Section 7. I'm going to ask Jim Ventress to read in some detail, and then next steps to follow.
Okay, so if you follow the handout for non-conforming structures and lots, page one, item three, we are removing the section at the end of the paragraph, provided such restoration or replacement is started within 1 year of such raising, demolition, or destruction, and diligently pursued to completion. That has been for quite a while been an illegal provision. It's in a lot of rezoning regulations, but it has been proven in court up to 25 years or greater. So if the intent to rebuild is there, you don't have a time limit. Second, with that same set of ideas, is on number four, a non-conforming use which ceases for any reason in a continuous period of more than 1 year or is changed to a conforming use shall there not resume. That whole section also, if you have a non-conforming use and it lays vacant, but the intent is to reactivate it, the courts have proven that that is still a viable. Number five, a little different. I think I'm not sure what the intent in 1980 was, but the way this regulation reads, it would be creating non-conforming lots. And so what we're putting in here, when lots are joined, the purpose of complying with the zoning regulations, the lots need to be combined into one lot for the land records, and we're removing the phrase, the interior lot lines where the lot abuts, have no significance relative to setback requirements for any building located to subjoined property, creates conformity. Nothing. Then we have the section that we actually grabbed from East Line for non-conforming structures and exceptions. No non-conforming dwelling shall be enlarged or extended unless the enlargement or extension conforms to the requirements of the district in which it's situated, excluded from this provision. Additions of a second story to a one-story single-family dwelling. Conversion of a single-family and one-and-a-half-story dwelling to a two-story dwelling by either means of dormers or upward extension of the existing sidewalls. Three, conversion of two stories of a one-story appendage to a two-story single-family dwelling. Four, construction of the addition that fills in a section of a house that when two adjacent exterior walls are already non-conforming. Five, and I have a little typo in here that I'm going to amend right now, construction of an addition that extends the existing nonconformity as long as the extension does not exceed 20% of the existing, and I inserted length of structure, and does not extend into the front or rear yard setbacks. None of the foregoing additions, extensions, or conversions shall, one, extend beyond the perimeter of the existing building, except noted in 4 or 5, two, exceed the vertical projection limit specified elsewhere in these regulations, that pertains to height,
alter the single-family status of the dwelling, result in the separation of less than 15 feet from the sidewalls from another dwelling, result in the nonconformity being constructed no closer than 5 feet from the property line, 6, result in the construction of exceeding the coverage limit of 35% of all structures on the property, and under D, nothing shall prevent the construction of addition of a single-family detached residence dwelling, provide the following conditions are met. No lot within the scope of these spheres can contain more than one dwelling. 2, the dwellings that are used solely as private residence, except for approval, approved home occupation, the proposed additions shall likewise be designed for such use. For the purpose of this regulation, single-story, accessory attached, and detached garages shall be considered residential additions. All applications under this section require an A2 survey to demonstrate the exact location of the existing structure and proposed additions and the location of the closest neighboring structure or structures. We also, in this section, have thrown in a sliding scale for nonconforming lots. A lot of these lots were built with a single lot. Zoning came along and took the aspect that it was really was based upon a minimum lot size of 8,000 square feet, which is a double lot. This allows some flexibility, and this table has sliding scales from under 80 in a brackets down from 70 to 79, 60 to 69, 50, 59, 40 to 49, and under 40. And it allows some flexibility on those nonconforming lots for an application. The other part that we added into nonconforming is landing with stairs within the setback area. Presently, we only allow 4x4, and to comply with ADA, you need a minimum of a 5x5 landing, and what we have proposed in this regulation is a 6x6 foot landing be permitted. And that is all for the nonconforming part. And I don't know if you want me to read into the public hearing the sections that pertain to nonconformity at this time. Do we have letters that...
Yeah, I think before we open it up, why don't we read into the record anything that we any correspondence that we've received.
Okay. All right. Received Friday, October 16th. The following comments are offered from the owners of a nonconforming lot. Section 712.5C4 states that in result of a separation less than 15 feet from the sidewalls of another dwelling. Does this apply to individual properties or does it include adjacent properties, which it does include adjacent properties? If it includes adjacent properties, it would create a noncompliance. I recommend changing 15 feet to 10 feet. Section 712.5C4, the resulting nonconformity be constructed no closer than 5 feet from the property line. As written, it creates a conflict with the proposed minimum side yards widths of 8 to 14 feet for nonconforming lots. In order to prevent this confusion and create conformity, I recommend Section 713 minimum side yard width be changed to 5 feet. This would then agree with the nonconformity allowing construction within 5 feet of the property line. I appreciate this opportunity to comment. If there are any questions, don't hesitate to contact me. And it came from George Parsons. Second I have is a received also on Friday. Hello, my name is Andrea Montavani. Mm-hmm. And I am currently residing at 41 Seabreeze Avenue. My family has been a resident of Black Point for 32 years. I am writing today to express my sincere hope to be able to raise my children in a place I call my happy place. I am for changes to be made to our current zoning policies. I think it is the best interest of our community to allow the people who own homes on nonconforming lots to be able to have more flexibility when it comes to building and adding onto their current structure or whatever modifications they see fit. Changes to our zoning policy will allow people to upkeep updated homes, in which turn keeps the beauty and the aesthetics of our community. In turn, this will also assist in maintaining property value. We would love to be able to stay at Black Point Community in our recent home on Seabreeze Avenue, where we need more square footage for our growing family. The possibility of staying in our home can only become a reality if we're able to make the modifications for the current structure, but unfortunately, Black Point's stringent rules, policies, and bylaws pertaining to non-conforming laws are a hindrance. Once again, I vote for change to be made to our zoning policy. Respectfully, Andrea Montevani. That one in, or does that go later at the end?
That's later.
Okay. And then this one has to do with shed, so we'll wait
okay.
for that.
Okay. So as some additional information, obviously there's a lot that we're looking at within this section. You know, this has been a lot of work on the commission's part because as we review our wonderful community, we see a tremendous change from a seasonal beach time summer community to a year-round community. And there's been a number of homes that have been built, beautiful homes, that are now year-round, and they provide that opportunity because of the flexibility when you have a larger lot. And certainly when you have a smaller lot, you're quite limited. So the opportunity here is the work on the commission's behalf to provide greater flexibility to allow those people who and homeowners that are currently restricted by our current regulations some greater flexibility should they choose to use it. So at this point, well, this could be fun now as we try to get comments, and obviously Colleen has graciously agreed to help us out here, so I appreciate that. I'll say that 10,000 times before this meeting is over, Colleen, so thank you. I guess we'll try to take comments from the public.
All right, so this is Colleen. This is what you need to do. And I will put the session into Q&A mode. And what that does is it allows people who wish to question, comment, whatever, at this point in the game to hit *6 on their phone, and that will populate a queue. Are you guys looking at the site to see if people are in the queue, or are you just doing this all on the phone? Okay. Great. So I will, I guess I'll manage the queue. I have unmuted Ferrara. Excuse me if I missed when I mispronounced.
Yeah, you're close. You're close. My name is Anthony Ferreira. Presently, I live at 75 East Shore Drive, and just wanted to follow up with my daughter, Andrea Montevani. She did an excellent job in stating what her situation is there at my my home there at 41 Seabreeze. In talking to Jim Fox, I want to share this. Jim Fox and Jim Ventry, I think they did a fantastic job in putting this together or helping put this together. I've talked a few times with Jim Fox, and everything they've stated is correct. Our community, Black Point community, I've been here for over 32 years. I absolutely love this. I've my girls, which I have three girls, one of them lives at 41 Seabreeze, and they've grown up, their children and are growing up in this lovely community. And these non-conforming lots, fortunately, they exist, but back when they had this put all together, the regulations really were geared more to summer cottages, I believe. And now that, as Jim has stated, this community is growing leaps and bounds into a more year-round community, as I share that at living at 75 East Shore. I feel the necessity for these non-conforming lots to be given an opportunity to grow along with the community. And my daughter absolutely, Andrea Montavani, that is, absolutely loves it here. And I really don't want to take her away from this lovely community. And she might, if she's not able to, eventually I'm in the process of having her purchase that home. And by her purchasing that home, her family needs a little bit more room than what she has over there. And I'm really hoping that the Black Point Association, along with the town of East Lyme, really look at this and vote on the importance of this community growing with these non-conforming lots, which only will add to, I believe, the overall growth of our community. And I really appreciate the time you've given me, along with hopefully where I can keep my daughter here next to me. Thank you.
Okay. Next up, we have Devin. Devin, please identify yourself and your property address.
Hi, this is Devin Bachmeister at 9 Sea Spray. I just want to second what was just said and really thank the board for considering these measures that will help us better utilize that 35% of the lot that we can use. And I think it's going to allow us and a lot of other people to take a more meaningful investment into our property. As was said, it's really difficult when you have a single lot to make additions or renovations that are, you know, not only aesthetically pleasing, but also just functional. So I just want to thank the board for considering this. I think it could be a benefit to the community as a whole, and thank you for your time.
Okay. Next up, we have Cindy Trokey. Cindy, please identify yourself and your property for the record.
Good morning. Cynthia Trokey, 22 Blue Heron, member of Black Point Beach Club Association Municipality. Zoning Commission in Black Point Beach Club Association was created through a charter, through its charter. And I would like to quote Section 9, Black Point Beach Club Association Special Act, also known as the Law of the Land of Black Point Beach Club Association. The Section 9 reads, the governing board of Black Point Beach Club Association may appoint a zoning commission which shall have within the territorial limits of the association the power and the duties confirmed and imposed on zoning authority by Chapter 124 of the General Statutes. The said governing board may make bylaws to regulate the conduct of such zoning commission and establish rules and regulations relating to the construction of buildings, including the adoption of the building code, and appoint a building inspector. The said governing board shall have the power to adopt the state building codes under the provision of Chapter 354 of the General Statutes and to amend the same from time to time, unquote. Black Point Beach Club Association has special acts, not public acts, but that has been referenced by the board and the zoning official of Black Point Beach Club Association. The Black Point Beach Club Association zoning is not to follow public acts, but special acts, which is our charter and the land of the law of the land. The confusion of the people in Black Point Beach Club Association, especially the misunderstood fundamental knowledge in order to be lawful. In my opinion, this board and other boards of Black Point Beach Club Association should not be expressing an opinion on changes without the real basis to the law of the land, which has already been established in Black Point Beach Club Association's charter and special acts, deeds, and the Connecticut General Statutes, and specifically the General Statutes I'm referring to at Chapters 98, 99, and 124, etc. We do not have planning commission, but a zoning commission. And the direction of this board trying to be a planning commission. The plans are final, and the master plans are here in Black Point Beach Club Association and can be found in the Town of East Lyme's clerk's office and maps 1 and 2 duly filed and also referenced in the zoning regulations in residential district section, and I gave a physical copy of the map to the chair of our governors. The Black Point Beach Club Association members need to be able to rely on the commission to follow the deeds, the special act, and the general statutes in order to protect our property from encroachment and especially adverse possession, but so that we can do it as it was intended to use these 40 by 100 or 50 by 100 lots. And I thank you for the opportunity to speak, and I hope I can be heard by all members. I have been told a saying, I have made up my mind, so don't confuse me with the facts. And in order for Black Point Beach Club Association to be a place in which is lawful and property is acquired, used, and disposed of by our constitutional rights by all owners is what I am trying to convey, that these maps and these deeds say that we can use 40 by 100, 50 by 100. Thank you.
Okay, next up here is Cynthia. Please identify your name and property.
Yes, this is Cynthia and Alex Gergenti. We reside at 9 East Shore Drive. And I just wanted to say that, you know, unfortunately for us, we didn't recognize that there was a lot restriction when we purchased our home. And, of course, we did have an intent to go up. And we found out in a roundabout way, but that's our problem. I guess we should have gone to planning and zoning and looked at it ahead of the time. But we enjoy our home. We love it. You know, someday we'd like to have the opportunity to build upward. So we do support what the board is doing and what they're suggesting not doing. And we just wanted to voice our opinion on our support for that because it would give us an ample opportunity to continue to stay in a lovely community. Also, I did want to make another comment, which basically was, I think it's important, should this move forward in a positive direction for us, that, you know, there's some guidance, if it's not there already in the bylaws, that state that, you know, the construction must be, you know, pleasing to the eye. It must be by, you know, an approved developer. And again, I don't know all the bylaws yet. We're so new to the community, but it's important to us, too, that we maintain the loveliness of the community as well. So thank you again for all the time that you took. We hope that this does move in the positive direction for us, and we appreciate your efforts.
Okay. Are there any other questions from the community? Star 6, you want to star 6 your phone to jump into the queue? Okay. Barbara Johnston, please identify yourself and your property.
Barbara Johnston, 35 Seacrest Avenue. I realize that everybody loves the community here, and I do too, but we also have to go by Connecticut state statutes, which apparently are not being considered here. This whole hearing is wrong. It has been advertised wrong. It is not completing what the Connecticut general statutes talk about. So, yes, I love the community too, but I think there has to be a violation here under FOI, totally complete, yet the FOI person was invited here to address the community and especially the Board of Governors. I haven't heard from anybody from the Board of Governors approving these new proposed regulations. The people that speak apparently are not aware of what Ms. Trokey spoke about, and there is a lot of research that she's done. Basically, we have a charter which is approved by the Connecticut General Assembly in 1931. So to say that you're going to plan or use planning for this association, which is also a municipality, approved municipality, is wrong, okay? Yes, you can request to change it, but hopefully the meeting is proposed as it should be on, in the statutes of zoning. The other part of it is we don't have planning, okay? And yet the people speaking have understood that we have planning. We only have zoning, okay? And it's definitely, this whole meeting should not be carried on. I tried to convince the chairman or email the chairman yesterday to cancel this meeting. It is illegal, totally illegal, October 17th, 2020. So I urge you not to continue and call. Do not try to enforce these regulations as presented. Thank you.
Okay, it looks like the queue is empty, so I will jump in and ask my questions if it's okay. This is Colleen Chapin, 53 East Shore Drive. I have a number of questions about what was just presented with respect to non-conforming buildings and lots. My first question would be to ask whether all the changes that are recommended are going to be vetted by a lawyer prior to any kind of enactment by the board or recommendation thereof by the Zoning Commission. I realize we are very fortunate to have a professional zoning enforcement officer with Jim Ventris, but he's not a lawyer, and he's got a ton of experience, but he's not a lawyer, and I would hope that just to cover any potential liability of the association, that we make sure that a lawyer completely vets these and makes sure that they are, in fact, legal as written. So that's kind of my first overall comment. As we get into these, I'm wondering, I kind of understand this concept of merging contiguous lots that have been owned by one person, but then there's the second section right below that requires the Board of Governors to actually approve the joining of contiguous lots. So I'm curious if those two things are still going to happen. Does the board have to approve that before the owner can I'm sorry, we're having some technical difficulties. I'm going to have to submit my concerns in writing and hope that they get addressed. In the meantime, Jim is unmuted, and you can run the thing from here.
Thank you.
See what happens.
Okay. So we'll do our very best here to conduct the rest of this meeting. Colleen Chapin, I appreciate all your help, and sorry that you're having the technical difficulties that you are there. If you have a question, we'll try to do this as orderly as we can. If there's other comments, questions from people who have not already spoken, I can see you, the way I can see when people have questions. There was somebody who just, is there any other questions from the public that is that is listening in?
Yeah, Jim, you got to go back on Q&A mode for that, and that's how people will be able to ask questions through *6 in an orderly fashion. I don't know what the last thing you heard from me was.
That the Board of Governors review and approve lot changes.
Jim, you were on mute, so I'm not sure what you were saying.
Okay. So we lost you right when you were starting your second comment regarding contiguous lots and the language that we have here that also includes language for the Board of Governors to approve lot changes.
Right, yeah. Okay, so let me just try and go quickly and just make sure. I mean, is the Board of Governors still going to have to require approval for subdividing lots? In this case, subdividing is a weird word because you're joining lots, but you're actually requiring that now, is the Board of Governors also going to have to approve that? That's one big thing. Secondly, I wanted to point out that in my experience with A2 surveys, they can only legally document your lot lines and your buildings within your lot lines and not necessarily buildings on adjacent properties. So that could be concerning for how you're going to determine if an adjacent building on another property is within 15 feet of your property. And then with respect to the sliding scale, I voiced my concern about this in a public meeting, but I'll put it on record here too. Since these side yards are dictated by your street address, there are many, many cases in the community where people will have a nominally 40 by 100-foot property next to a nominally 40 by 100-foot property. Because one of those properties is a corner lot, and by nature of their street address, they would not be allowed to take advantage of the flexibility that you're offering here. And I'm concerned that that sets up a certain inequity, that you're really only allowing flexibility for some people and not others. And I'm very concerned about that, how that plays out legally. I'd also note that in many cases, there are lots that are not perfectly rectangular in shape, and you might have a less than 40 foot width at one end of your property and 45 feet width at the other side of your property. And in that case, which of these standards would be allowed to be used? There are also a number of dog leg type properties or properties on corners where you have a rounded corner and it's not easily determined what your width is. So I'm just curious how that's going to be all sorted out, and will there be appropriate equity across the board? Also, you stated that landings are going to be increased, which I think is fantastic. Those teeny tiny landings in the first place are tough to navigate sometimes if you're not in a wheelchair. And I think it's great that you've gone to look at other areas where there could be reasonable sizes. But I'm concerned by pulling in the accessibility laws. We are possibly setting a precedent for accessibility to be governed all of our zoning, which I am all in favor of in many ways, but I think this is a dangerous area to be. And so I'd be very careful about how this gets incorporated in the zoning directly. Those are my big comments. Hopefully they all came through. And then I guess we'll end the Q&A at that. And Jim, you'll be... Jim Fox, Jim Ventress,
yep.
you're back in the driver's seat.
Okay. Yeah, we heard all of those, Colleen. Thank you.
I'm okay. I'll talk to Jim later.
Okay. All right. We do have a question from somebody here.
Kim Craven, 46 East Shore. What if you have two non-conforming lots, and how does that set up with people building their structures, and one builds it and then the other one can't build because it would be too close to the other structure? And the other thing is the setbacks on the landings. I'm not sure how that's being changed. I'm just a little confused. Can it, if you can only be 5 feet from the other person's dwelling, is the, but yet 5 feet from the property line for your landing or stairway on a non-conforming lot? And going back to somebody else's question on this not being legal, I thought the Freedom of Information Act changed it due to COVID, which made the postings different and the way meetings were held. That was my understanding.
Thank you.
You want me to go backwards on me?
Is there any other why don't you provide some detail based on some of the comments so far?
So I'll go backwards on Ms. Craven's point about the landing. That's for the front yard, so it's not for the side yard, so it's 5 feet from the front yard. So that's where that applies under that one. As far as two pre-existing non-conforming lots, fortunately, I don't think we have a lot of them. There are two side-by-sides vacant owned by other people. But in reality, there is a tic-tac-toe effect. It can happen. I mean, I always see it with wells and septics, but it can happen. So you're right. There could be conflict with that. But it's regulations aren't perfect. They're not going to cover everything. On Carlene's comment, she asked how we were going to find about the on the sliding scale or the 15-foot requirement. Surveyors can go on adjacent properties to locate a house. So that's how that's going to happen because the survey is required. The sliding scale, yes, it does use the front yard, but if it's an angular lot that narrows down or widens up, you'd look at the side yards at the limit of construction. So if that thing started off at 60 and then narrows down to 40, but the construction at that point allows one of those slots to happen, that's where it's measured. So it doesn't follow uniformly all the way in.
And yes, we have a street address being the frontage on this. It's not, again, zoning laws isn't perfect, but we do have a regulation in there that if you have a nonconformity, you're allowed to propose in here to extend it by another 20% of the length of the building. So that was kind of written in to take care of some of this. Who knows? Maybe we, you know, later down the road, if we look at there's some inequities that need to be addressed, the commission would come in and address them. What else did you have? Oh, the contiguous lots. The Board of Governors under the charter is the Planning Commission, so they are the ones that have to. That was a scenario where you took two non-conforming lots and, or conforming and a non-conforming, and then reconfigure it. That has to be reviewed by the Board of Governors, and that's in the bylaws. And as far as we could, if the commission decides to forward it to the town attorney, I mean, the association attorney, we can do that. Being that the attorney is staff, you can actually even take their comments after the public hearing because it's staff. And as far as the comments about the statutes and the two calls in, you're informed by the charter, but the zoning regulations, the Board of Governors appointed a zoning commission. These are zoning regulations. Everybody, whether you live in a city or a borough, you're a ward of the state. So the Connecticut general statutes are covered, and we have to follow them. So what was being brought up was that we don't have to follow Connecticut general statutes. Yes, we do. Otherwise, you can't have it both ways. You can't say you didn't post it to the statutes and you don't have to follow the statutes. And if zoning commissions were brought into place in the 1950s or 60s through this effort and not allowed to modify to changing, then you're stuck with the original regulations. That would say any regulation change that occurred from the day the charter was made was illegal. That's nonsensical.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. So I'd like to move on to the next item, which is item 2 in section 5. This is a dimensional requirement. Currently, there's a minimum square footage requirement. Right, Jim?
Correct.
And that is it's a provision that was overturned in court. So really it's a matter of cleaning this up to remove it because it wouldn't stand the test of court.
Not at all. It was decked with walls.
Okay.
And the other thing is, somebody owns an 800-square-foot house.
And they look at it and they say, well, I want to tear it down and build a 1,000-square-foot house. Do we really want them going to the Zoning Board of Appeals for, something that's illegal? So the reality is that, no, it is illegal. It should just be crossed out, eliminated. We can move on.
Okay, very good. Is there any comments from the public regarding this item? Item 2, Section 5.
As a reminder, that's star 6 if you have a comment at this time. Barbara, go ahead. State your name and address for the record.
Barbara Johnston, 35 Seacrest Avenue. It appears that during Colleen's report, she's a ZBA chairman. I was muted, okay? I haven't heard the meeting since 10:35 a.m. I would like to rehear what Ms. Colleen said and anybody else that spoke. I hope this is being recorded word for word by our secretary. I know Ms. Brooke is not here, so basically I would like to know also who is the secretary taking all these minutes.
Who's that?
What's your last name? So the recording secretary, the recording secretary that's present is Sue Spong.
Thank you.
And the meeting will be posted, Ms. Johnson.
Online.
Yes, on the website.
The Black Point website is what I'm talking about.
Yes, the Black Point Beach Club Association website.
And who am I speaking to?
Jim Fox.
Okay, Mr. Fox, thank you.
All right, Jim's on to the next.
Very good, thank you. Item 3 is Section 4-12, Expanded Construction Time for Winter Months. The intent is to promote activities to be completed. So as everybody knows, our current construction hours are 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. The question that the commission was looking at was whether we should allow some expanded construction time during the winter months so that construction activities could proceed in a more orderly and timely fashion, because obviously during the winter months, you really can't work outside till 6 since it's dark at 4. So by allowing them to start at 7 versus 8 would provide an hour each day, or an additional 5 to 6 to 7 hours a week for them to try to work more efficiently. We will take questions from the public concerning this item.
Again, that's star 6 if you have a question on this topic. Go ahead, Barbara. Barbara,
hello?
Go ahead.
Barbara Johnston, 35 Seacrest Avenue. I would like to know how this is going to be enforced, okay? It has happened constantly this past winter season. And who is going to enforce it if we approve this from 7:30 or 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock? We people live here all year round, and a lot of the people, especially the one enforcing this, does not live here. Are you supposed to call at 7 o'clock in the morning and tell them work has started if we approve this? I think it's totally wrong, and I'm totally against it.
Again, star 6, if there's any additional questions or comments on this. Yeah, there are no additional questions or comments. I'll take this opportunity to throw my hat in the ring. Colleen Chapin, 53 East Shore Drive. I don't live there in the winter, but I'm having experienced this in the summer. I know that there was a lot of construction starting before 8 a.m. this summer, and having it start, knowing that that's happening, and then making the time be 7 a.m., inevitably construction is going to start before 7 a.m., I'd be really concerned. I understand the intent, but perhaps there's a way to kind of minimize what those activities could be early on in the day. There's a lot of rock slamming, a lot of high impact construction activities that are really loud, and maybe those can be postponed till after 8 a.m. and so they can start other things earlier. But I can see where this would be incredibly challenging for people who live on site all year round. That's my question. That's my comment. There are nothing else in the queue, so back to you, Jim.
Thank you for your comments, Colleen and Ms. Johnson. All right, so item four is Section 1, Definitions, and Section 4, General Regulations Pertaining to Accessory Structures, specifically sheds and detached garages. So the commission, just as some additional information, was started looking at this more closely because a number of shed-type structures, in my opinion, were going up, but they were called garages. And certainly on top of the fact that this was really more born out of the fact that people needed more storage, more areas to, as we continue to be more of a year-round community, I think that just means you have more stuff and the need for more storage, et cetera. So the commission looked at some of these changes to see if there's some options that would be better suited for some of the needs here.
Okay, so I'll kind of read into what we have. And this is, I'll start off the first page of accessory C under garages, detached garage. Any accessory structure over 160 square feet shall be considered a garage. We are debating back and forth as to sheds and garages. We also before never had a limit on pool cabana size. The pool cabana shall have a maximum size of 160 square feet and shall not exceed 14 feet in height. We, on the second page, accessory building, we had the one before it was of which not more than one may be a garage, not one be a shed. And we're taking that out, of which can be a combination of two structures, a garage, a shed, a gazebo, or a pool cabana. And that's singular, can't have two garages. A little correction in detached garages on four, maybe the floor space is to be used for storage only. If you go over to page three of the document, we had a dimension for sheds that could be 8 feet by 10 feet by 12 feet. Didn't matter how you did it, had to fit those three dimensions. Now it shall not exceed 160 square feet. Then on the beach lots, right now the front of the beach is the bank of the beach is the front. And so you're required to have the shed to be 50 feet from the beach front. And that means that it would have to be where the house is, or it would have to be on the street side. So this regulation says instead of 50, it's 25 feet from the lot line on the bank of the beach or the beach wall, 20 feet from the street line, 15 feet from the lot fronting the association right away. And then we crossed out 5 feet from all the lines. And for all of the lot lines, a shed under 100 square feet shall have a setback lot line of 5 feet and have a maximum height of 12 feet. For a shed with a square footage of 100 square feet to 160 square feet, the setback is to be 10 feet with a maximum height of 14 feet to the peak. The same thing goes for all of the lots. There was a 50-foot setback. The proposal has 25 feet from the front line. And again, eliminating that 5 feet from all of the lots and putting in the sliding scale. And for all of the lot lines, a shed under 100 square feet, the setback from lot line shall be 5 feet and have a maximum height of 12 feet to the peak. And for sheds with a square footage of 100 square feet to 160 square feet, the setback shall be 10 feet with a maximum height of 14 feet to the peak. And there's a note here. If the proposed structure exceeds the roof height required for the structure size, the structure will be required to be the more restrictive setback based on that height.
So if you want to build a shed and be higher, then you're going to take the setback of 15 feet for the, as would a garage. The other one we have added is an added is for cupolas. On any structure, a cupola or cupolas may be constructed as long as the base or bases do not exceed 2 inches per foot of the ridgeline. The height shall next exceed 3 times the length of the base at the ridgeline and measured to the peak of the cupola. This is not intended to include weather vanes and other decorative features. And that is all we have there.
Thank you, Jim. If there are questions, comments from the public regarding this regulation,
once again, in the Q&A session, star 6 from anybody out there who has a question, comment. First one in. Barbara, go ahead. Identify yourself.
Barbara Johnston, 35 Seacrest Avenue. I don't know how you can change the frontage of the beachfront homes, as I believe I heard 12 feet for a garage or what you're speaking of. I haven't closely studied that. I'm totally against what you're doing with garages, but I am totally confused saying you can't have two garages. Are you talking about a conforming lot that can't have two garages? And it does it also include the beachfront that is under coastal area management? I haven't seen any part of that. I agree, I haven't studied it, but this totally is totally out of line for garages. Sorry, that's it.
Okay, any other questions, comments? Star 6. And seeing none, I'll go ahead and take my opportunity to jump in the queue. Colleen Chapin, 53 East Shore Drive. I had a couple questions on this whole topic. I appreciate a lot of time and effort has been spent on this. I sat through some of the public meetings where this has been discussed, and I think, to everyone's credit, kind of mocking up sizes, what these things look like in real life rather than throwing random numbers around, I think was incredibly helped and illustrate what sizes can be here. Having said that, I would like to throw out the concept of maybe not naming building structures. You talk about 4 different things. You talk about a garage, a gazebo, a pool cabana, and a shed. Inevitably, there are other structures, and with semantics being what they are, being so precise here with the language, I think might have some challenges in the future. If we could just say you can have one structure that cannot be whatever the garage size is, 160 square feet, and one structure under 160 square feet, in addition to your dwelling, you're kind of done, and we don't have to worry about semantics. I mean, is a carport, is that considered a garage or a cabana or a gazebo? Because they have features of all of that. So I would just kind of encourage making it a little bit easier so we don't get caught up in semantics potentially in the future. And going along that line, this concept of cupola, which I know is near and dear to many people's hearts, and it challenges me because cupolas are originally a very functional element on a building. They provide light and airflow, and that is something that would dictate the sizing of such a thing. So to have design requirements in our zoning regulations where it has to be this size or smaller is a little challenging to me. Plus, it stops things like you can't have a clear story monitor, which would add a lot more light and ventilation. And you might have a building that's short enough that you can still sneak this in under the building height. So I'm very concerned that you're only picking out one kind of design component and being very prescriptive in the design requirements of it when that just doesn't feel like zoning to me. So that would be the end of my comment. There is another comment that's come in. Ronnie, go ahead and identify yourself and your property.
My name is Veronica Casey, 19 Seaview. I know my sister sent an email yesterday to the zoning board, and I didn't hear any letters discussed. I thought at each section they would go and read any correspondence that they got, and I didn't hear it. Did they receive her comment, her email? She sent it yesterday.
Now I can. Okay. Now I can talk. Yes, we were about to. My error, Veronica. I appreciate you mentioning that. We do have the comment here, and Jim Ventress is about to read that into the meeting minutes.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, comments on the proposed new zoning regulations. I do not want Black Point Beach to have an unattractive, overdeveloped look from some shoreline communities. The beauty of Black Point is its tree-laden streets and its open green space. I am concerned about two main issues, placement of sheds and other small structures in the front yards. Moving the smaller structures forward from 50 feet to 25 feet gives the property an overall cluttered appearance. Exclusion from the overall cover ratio. All permit items on the property should be included in the cover ratio. This would include electrical equipment boxes, such as generators and air conditioners. It should encompass shower enclosures as well. Personally, I would like to add to the list of motor homes that are already grandfathered in a few years ago. The beauty and enhanced value of Black Point is at stake. Be careful. Margaret M. Casey, former chairperson of the Zoning Board of Appeals, 19 Seaview Avenue, Black Point.
Okay, star 6 for any other comments on this topic. I guess there's none. And back to you, Jims.
We do have one other comment that they were trying to dial in, but they couldn't, so.
Hi, Kim Craven, 46 East Shore. My one concern about the cupolas is if it's on a shed having a light in it, because my fear is that could shine into somebody's house. When it's up on top of a house, I think they're high enough not to shine in somebody's house. So I would not like to see lights and cupolas on top of sheds. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Very good. Colleen, if I haven't said it enough, I will owe you a huge debt of gratitude. So thank you for all of your assistance on your end. I apologize for my ineptness in being able to handle that side of it. So thank you very much for your assistance on that. So regarding the public hearing, at this point is, I think all comments have been gathered. Taken a lot of notes. For all of us, I'll speak for the commission in saying that this has been a very important process for us. The feedback is critical to us trying to make the right decisions for our community. And we appreciate you taking the time to participate.
So I think in terms of the public hearing itself, Jim, is there any concerns about closing the public hearing based on?
Yes, the commission feels that they've heard what they need to hear, then no.
Okay.
Like I said, if you also decide to send it to the attorney for a review, you can accept those comments after the public hearing is closed.
Okay. Any concerns of the commission in terms of closing the public hearing?
Nope.
All right. I will. Is there a motion to close the public hearing?
I'll make a motion to close the public hearing.
Motion's been made by Jim Allen. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second that motion.
That motion's been seconded by John Kaisha. Is there any discussion of the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. The public hearing is closed. Thank you again for your participation. It's greatly appreciated. Goodbye.